around the nation. Good morning, everybody. Ian Moss, thank you for signing in. Who else is here? Myself, Tony Martin.
Is he or isn't he?
We'll find out.
Well, he certainly is. I am.
Lavender. Lavender. You're calling Mr. Marsden Lavender. Oh, yeah. He is someone who certainly isn't Lavender. That's our candidate for Mayor of the Gold Coast, Warwick Kappa.
W. Kappa.
Have we ever been sent a news story as many times as we have this morning? Exactly. Oh, Warwick, have you no shame? Kappa stars in porn film. Now,
I lent on it.
Thank you. You are, Richard. You know, is this helping?
Well, I need the details first.
The campaign for me.
Is this what he's doing for his ads, for his television ads?
No. Well, for the campaign ads.
Yeah, campaign ads.
Online campaign. Warwick Kappa has dropped his dax to star in an X-rated porno alongside 25-year-old girlfriend Kirsty. The tape lasting an hour and 9 minutes.
Hey.
Don't forget that 9 minutes.
Hey.
Has been bought by a Melbourne distributor for a six-figure sum and is set to feature on an American website. Says Warwick, I've done everything else. Oh, yeah, he's done everything else. There was that Booker Prize-winning novel, if you remember.
There was the time he was the first man up Everest. Speeding through Edmund Hillary. Edmund Hillary's going up there and he's like, what's that pink bit of hot pad ahead of me?
I think I'm Australia's answer to Paris Hilton.
That's worrying.
Impression. I'm just worried it will ruin his reputation. Whoever doesn't sell his
credential. Someone also said I'm like David Beckham.
Who? I don't know.
The voice is in
but why? Because I'm a good-looking footballer with the same quick wit.
That's true.
Is he known for his quick wit, David Beckham? He can't string two words.
No, yeah. Someone asked him a question in 1998, and the other day, I think he just came up with an answer, and it was hysterical.
He backed of an answer. I thought of naming it Inside Work.
Oh.
Inside Work. Oh. I didn't get that. I know the phrase Inside Job.
Yes. I think I understand.
Yeah.
Well, I know that he famously called, I think he was the guy who coined the phrase for a bed, the workbench.
Really?
I think he was doing like a Burke's Backyard, show you around my house kind of thing. Is the workbench done?
Yeah,
where you see him along my locks.
Black and Decker. Well, he's been giving the bench a workout here. Look, I used to take high marks. Yeah, I'm jumping off high cupboards.
What?
What is that? What does that mean? That's what he's doing in this hour and 9 minutes, is it?
Does Warwick know what a porno is?
It's got a lot more hardware. A lot more renovation involved.
Yeah, maybe they showed the tape to the distributors. Warwick, this is just you jumping off furniture, man.
Onto your girlfriend.
Warwick Kato.
Well, it says the bloke in Melbourne who wants to buy it, then wants to send it on to America. He thinks the tape could fetch close to $1 million. Why, does he say? Well, Warwick's got a remote control. He's zooming in and he's zooming out.
That's true.
I think he's doing it. Hang on, he's got a remote, so he's in this porno, this 1 hour, 9 minute jumping off cupboard spectacular. And in one hand, he's got a remote and he's working the camera. They couldn't even afford a cameraman for this $1 million spectacular.
Afford a cameraman? He sacked the cameraman for being useless because he couldn't get the close ups on Warwick's face just right. Warwick, are there any extra shots of the sex? This is all just you. This is all just you looking down the barrel.
So, in the middle of the sex, is he stopping to adjust with the remote? Hang on, reframe.
Yeah, you know what I'm thinking? Live show. They should do this at Telstra Stadium in Sydney, then up at the Gabba in Brisbane.
He doesn't perform on grass. Remember?
That's so true. Put a workbench down and a cupboard.
And now, Warwick Kappa
jumps off a cupboard onto the
workbench.
Onto the workbench, containing the missus, an hour and 9 minutes later.
Not at work with the remote, obviously. Pauses. Yes, good ratio, right. But the distributor also says they use the toys and pretty much do the whole kit and caboodle.
And the caboodle.
That'll be in the 9 minutes.
I wish. Like my caboodle to stay undone. Thank you very much.
Off a cupboard into the caboodle. Then it says down here they're listing his previous credits. Warwick has posed for Penthouse many times.
Hear that.
Check. First person to be kicked out of Celebrity Big Brother for dropping his pants. Check.
Giving it away for years.
and has played a convict in a movie. What? Do you remember that?
No.
Do you remember him?
Was he in there a weird mob?
Years ago. Years ago, there was talk of him making a film called The Big Smoke. I remember reading about it. It was a cop thriller called The Big Smoke. He was going to take, because Mark Jacko Jackson did Signal One.
Oh, okay.
With Christopher Atkins from The Blue Lagoon. So Camp has gone on fire. Well, we're going to top that one. But The Big Smoke never got released.
It got made, though.
I don't know if it got... I remember reading them that it was being made. A la Yobbo's Up the Guts.
Yeah.
So we know about Yobbo's Up the Guts, never got released. Yeah. Big Smoke never got released. Which one did he play a convict in?
What was he in?
I'm going, what is it? I've never heard of it.
So I got, second.
Got onto their internet movie database.
They know everything.
They know everything. He's got one acting credit ever.
Yeah.
Fortress, 1993.
Christopher Lambert.
Christopher Lambert.
Oh.
Warwick is in that film playing, and it's got brackets uncredited.
Yeah.
Brain dead prisoner. That's what he's got on the internet. Brain dead prisoner.
Wow.
So hopefully he's reprising the role of brain dead prisoner, leaping off the top of a cupboard with a remote control in one hand for an hour and 9 minutes.
Headlong into the caboodle.
I think we have a new movie of the year. With a whole lot of love here at Get This around the nation on Triple M. We're, let's see, well into August now. That means that Paddy Crandell is not happy. One of our listeners, Ed, I am outraged.
Paddy,
Ed, you deserve
right up the bracket.
According to Paddy.
I can't see you try, Paddy.
He says, what's with all this Star Trek Borgus nonsense? What happened in Norgus?
Now, Paddy, what you're suggesting is that we put a call out over the air for girls to send us pictures of their naked boobies.
We never said that. We never even outlined what Norgus might be. We just said it could be Norgus.
What do you think Paddy means? Paddy's not, you know, he doesn't want a cocktail party where we discuss the finer points of the female uni.
I understand April, you wear a cape to work for the month of April.
Yeah.
August, you dress up as the crappier the better.
Now, this is the one we're actually doing.
Yeah.
There's a big prize
of the Borg from Star Trek. Look them up on the internet.
Yeah, can I just say, start sending your photographs in triplem.com.au.
There's no prize at this point.
Push time. I'll
come up with something by the end of August.
I'll score one out by the end of the month.
Mm. Richard?
That's great.
By the time we're into Craptember, you will have worked it out. Okay. But what do you do for Norgus?
See, this is what I'm saying. This is why you could never do it.
People just get around Norgus Ahoy.
Yeah. People just either drive past in a car, honk the horn, and flash them out the window.
All right. Put that down.
It's kind of chilly. It's not exactly... I mean, this isn't the month. I mean, August is a wonderful... But Norgus, I mean, it's got to be more of a summer...
Norguary.
I think.
We're stuck with Borgus because Ed said it on air.
Yeah, absolutely right.
That's what we're going
to do. Paddy, sicko, if you're desperate to see Norgus, then just, you know,
get your friend. This is the kind of show we must run here, because next two articles about Warwick Capper's porno, hour and 9 minutes, leaping off cupboards, kitten caboodle, brain dead prisoner, the full gear. The second most popular thing that we get sent.
The cat with the fork?
No. Ads for Steven Seagal's Lightning Bolt energy drink.
Oh, that's right.
It's an energy drink you can only buy from a website, from his website. Who goes to the internet to buy a refreshing beverage?
You've got to know that you're going to be thirsty 6 to 8 weeks in advance. You're going to be really thirsty about September 16th.
Yeah. I mean, you know, maybe it's worth waiting for the Steven Seagal Lightning Bolt.
Mm.
But what about today? Respected Australian film director Bruce Beresford has put out his memoirs, I guess is what you call it.
Right.
And it's tipping the bucket on a few celebrities, according to the news.
Really?
He's got a history of doing this, hasn't he? Isn't he some new artistic director somewhere? Is that true?
Does he tip the bucket?
Yeah, he's on Tony Collette, didn't he, last year?
Oh, yeah, you're right. That was well deserved. the thing is...
Heard her single. Had to speak out.
He doesn't like Steven Seagal.
Oh,
what? According to Beresford, Seagal surrounds himself with beautiful young Asian women who call him master at his Los Angeles home.
What's the problem?
surrounds himself with beautiful young Asian women and dresses as a Chinese restaurant, if you've seen any recent photographs.
Wait, let's just have a look.
A Nero jacket by Ringling Brothers. It's enormous.
All right, let's just look at the facts. What films has Beresford done? Name a couple.
Driving Miss Daisy.
Okay.
Breaking Moran.
Dodgy. Up against Park Park Dead. Extreme Face Kick, or what was that one called?
On Deadly Ground.
On Deadly Ground.
Remember he did the 10-minute environment speech at
the end. Beresford doesn't have the guts to put on a white coat and tell us all about, you know, the dangers of oil while kicking someone in the teeth.
Is Beresford, you know, got young Asian women calling him master?
Would if he could.
Well, listen to this, though. The producer who drove me to his house, this is Beresford talking, confided that Seagal is so out of condition that he's doubled for everything in his movies except the close-ups.
Getting out of a car.
Getting out of a car.
Wow.
Just, you know, lifting up, just walking. He apparently can't muster that these days.
They get the fat Mexican bloke to double for him because he looks better on screen than Seagal.
They have to dub out the sound of, you know, the corduroy. When he's just walking. When he gets, you know, the carpet burst between the legs.
Is it too early to get some heat on the street for September? I think maybe for Steven Seagal fans.
September.
What would you do though? Oh, you'd have to obviously plan your first head and order a lightning bolt, get around in a giant Nero jacket that could
easily tent,
house a family of 10, get everyone to call you master.
Not bad.
And have someone else doing everything for you except in the close-ups. And then even in the close-ups, you've got to have dodgy, weird plea gliding across the hairline.
And have your hair spray painted on.
Because they can't show his body, they can't show the top of his head, there's very little you can't actually see.
Eyes and nose.
Stupid cigar.
Don't his own mouth. Hasn't been his own mouth for years. Doesn't chew anymore. Never chews.
All right, look, we've tipped the bucket on everyone.
Someone chews for him, and then, like a bird, he opens his mouth and they regurgitated in there for him.
We've tipped the bucket on everyone in the papers over the weekend except that nerd who hosts Get This.
Never heard of him.
Let's get to that next. ZZ Top, thank you very much.
Legs here
again. Get This.
This is a person like the standing out. In the days before the Chardonnay City Theatre set took over.
Thank you very much, Rick.
Ricky.
On Triple M, brought to you by the Nissan Navara, huge pulling power, rugged good looks. Beverage holders, is that where you were driving around on the weekend, Ed?
No, but I ran into someone who's got one.
Who was that?
He's a tradesman called Harry, who's a plumber. And he said, look, I'm sorry, he said, to tell me to tell his customers, he's sorry if he doesn't show up between 11 and 1. He's listening to our show.
Oh, in the Navara.
Yeah.
Sitting there with four beverages, one guy. Four beverages.
Just lording it up.
Listening to the show.
Hey?
Clinking them together whenever his car is mentioned.
You're always a cocktail party.
Now, you were out and about on the weekend. I think, did both of you guys attend the Root gig in Melbourne?
Certainly did. I was on Ed's shoulders.
Yeah.
And celebrating August in my own special way.
Absolutely.
I came to top.
Oh, man. He flashed them.
Well, they did an encore for it, too, which
they
was lovely,
did.
Actually.
Yeah. How did Root go? I mean, I think it's only their second gig. Best gig I went to. On the weekend.
Fantastic.
Did the audience go off?
No, I thought it got a really good response. They were very, very good.
They're up and coming. They're ones to watch. The Root.
And hello to everyone who met me there and insisted I was Josh Lawson.
It was
lovely to talk to you.
Did people think you guys were dating? Was there a lot of that?
We made out a bit, but I think everyone knew that was in jest. I think everyone knew that was just in good fun.
Well, I had a bit of fun over the weekend because there was an article about me in the Melbourne Herald Sun. Now, this is who was the guy who wrote it? Greg Tom called up Nicky about a week after the original Tony Martin McMalloy Funny Man Feud article appeared.
Oh, yeah.
And he's gone, oh, I just want to write an article about Tony's radio show. And Nicky's gone, you said it's not going to be anything about the Tony and Mick feud, is it? So what did he say, Nicky?
He said, you know, it's not off the back of that at all. I have always wanted to do a story on Tony.
Yeah, that's right. So, I couldn't really say no, because we don't really have many articles written about it. Promotions won't be very happy if I'm turning down publicity.
Yeah.
So I've done the interview, which is not going to be anything about the Funny Man feud. Mm. He's interviewed me for about an hour and a half, probably 5 minutes on the feud.
And
here it comes. Here's the weekend paper. picture of me and Mick, headline, Best of Enemies.
Ah, yeah, it might be about a few.
Then you tune it inside, and then there's an entire page photo of me and Mick facing each other with a huge crack down the middle between us, split ends.
Oh, no,
sorry, what did he say? It's not going to be anything about that.
It's not so far.
It's just a straight out liar.
Oh.
No, but he said he doesn't pick the headlines.
Oh, all right. Split ends. Hang on, that doesn't even make sense. I guess I'd use split ends because I'm from New Zealand.
You're from New Zealand, yeah.
Wouldn't split ends be if the feud was over?
Right.
Shouldn't it be split begins?
Oh, yeah, right.
It's just New Zealand split in that. Oh, there's got the word split in it, and near enough. Mm. Means the exact opposite of what we're trying to say, but.
But people will get it.
They won't probably get past the first word.
I think we caught up another My Favourite Martin headline, too.
You mean that? That's what I'm leading to. Oh, stand on the front of the section. My favourite bar.
There he is. Why are you driving a car?
This is the thing, Steve. This is where they were so sneaky about this. They call up and they've gone, we want to get a photo of Tony in a car wreck.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, God, is that a reference to my career? No. It's because in the interview he referred to being in a car accident, so we thought we'd make that the photo.
All right. Okay.
I'm going, really? Oh, well, I guess I don't have to do any hammy acting. Because the car wreck will be doing all the work.
Could have sent a production still from David Cronenberg's Crash.
Porno movie made by the TAC. They could have, obviously. Mm. So the photographer showed up at the station, and he was an unusual character. He borrowed John English's teeth for the week, clearly.
Wow.
He walks up and he goes, I've just been taking a photo of Ian McEwan. I've got Ian McEwan, the Booker Prize-winning author. He's in town. No, mate, Gandalf. Okay, as long as you know who it is, you're photographing.
Yeah, good news.
So we've got in the car, and we've driven miles and miles down to the foreshore. But as you can see, it's just a photo of me looking through a steering wheel with a blurry background. Could have been taken anywhere.
Yeah, could have been.
So we get in the car, and the photographer, he's starting the ignition. So he put the key in the ignition, and he's gone, hang on a minute. Hang on a second, mate. And he's pulled out this hose from under the dashboard, and he started blowing into it. I'm going, what's going on here? He's gone, is the price you pay for having too much fun? And he's got a car that will not start unless your alcohol level is below the legal limit.
Mm.
So it's something, it must be something you have to do. They fit a hose to your car. So he's blowing into it. Don't worry, mate, we'll have this photo taken in no time.
How much have you had to drink? Could you just blow into this for me?
Let's see, you go, would you just get someone else?
You want a sip of this?
Wow. So he started.
Wow. Here.
We're driving down the street. We get to the lights of the car stall, so he's got to do it again. He was almost blowing us for 20 blocks.
Wow.
I'm going to sip. Well, not literally. Don't get into the papers. There's a new headline.
Photo.
Suddenly I am my favourite Martin again. So after an enormous amount of wind power, we've made it down to the foreshore. He's given me this steering wheel. I'm sitting amidst this wreckage of a car accident. But he's in really close. Like, it's just me and the steering wheel. I'm going, what about all the rest of it? No, mate, this will be fine. And then the article comes out. And look what they've done. They've got a photo of me looking through a steering wheel. And this is what it says underneath. Comedians Tony Martin and Mick Molloy are talking. Their 20-year friendship is in tatters. But Martin insists he's the one in the driver's seat.
Oh, no.
Ouch. So what am I doing? I'm saying, oh, you were having a few, but don't worry, mate. I'm the one driving this thing.
You insist on that.
So they've worked that out and worked, and then they've got, how can we get a shot of him looking through a steering wheel? We'll tell him we'll do this thing that's connected with the car crash. Crop it in close, and he won't know.
You look better off with the hose blowing guy.
Blowing guy.
You're happy.
You're happy to be blowing a car up the street.
Yeah.
So watch out. That's the tricks they do.
How's
that?
Well, they asked me if I'd do a story about Richard Marsland, and the photograph was just me sort of stabbing an effigy of him. So I don't know how they're going to. I don't know how they're going to use that. I don't think that's going to come up well at all.
Not you at all.
You attacking your career?
Wait, yeah. Why is this thing so Marsland on it?
That'll be dropped out.
Don't worry about it.
You won't see that.
Well, dear.
Anyway, that's how they roll at the Murdoch Press. Be very careful. Anyway, I think that's good promotion for the show, isn't it?
It is, but you have to understand, I didn't get to your article because I opened the paper and there was a full-length picture of Kerry Ann Kennelly, and that was it for me. See you later. It's all the pink I can handle for one weekend.
All right, let's get the listeners on board. I think we've declared what we've seen.
Oh, yeah. What have you seen?
Is it time to play What Have You Seen?
It's time to play What Have You Seen.
Let's do that next.
Been drinking, vomiting, and obscene photographs.
The Nation on Triple M, where Tony Martin insists he's the one in the driver's seat.
No,
imagine me saying that to someone. Yeah. Like, when you write the article, can you just insist? You make sure that I insist that I'm the one in the driver's seat.
What's that? And he doffed his cap and wandered off.
Got my driving gloves on.
Lit a cigar or a cigarillo.
Yeah, you can say we're discriminating against someone on the show.
We're doing What Have You Seen?
Oh, yeah, What Have You Seen is coming up. So you're saying that vision impaired people, what should we do tomorrow then?
What have you touched?
What have you touched? That's not going to blow up in our face, is it?
What have you touched?
Do you want to hear 40 minutes of stuff blowing up in our face? Podcast 112 is for you.
Won't you?
That's right, it's podcast.
No, but you know what?
You can get that second one and make it the first one.
Yeah, there you go,
Matt.
Chop that one up.
There you go. Good on you. What's going on in Ed's stomach?
Oh, yeah.
Our salute to Lucky Grills. Meet Joy Buttress under the bonnet. Alexander Downer on her knee.
Oh, yes.
Sorting that issue out. Mm. And, of course, leave off the Bengals, Richard Marsland, Ray Stevens, and Frank Woodley. Detailing the time he did a knob whacker.
Oh, dear.
That's very painful. Very painful. And, of course, something baffling called Marsland Motors.
Oh, that was great.
Never understood that.
Just guessing Sly Newsweek. Was it?
Must have been.
Marsland Motors got to run.
Podcast.
What? No, not going to happen.
Almost. Who is up on the grid now? What about some music, though? Richard, we haven't heard you sing for a while.
Richard, I brought in some...
Well, I've had a cold.
Yeah. Well, now your voice is back in sounding rich and timbrous.
Yes.
I have a guitar here, Tony. Have you got some drums?
I can do that.
That's okay. Dreadlocks
on, everyone. 2, 3, 4. John Butler Trio here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. Let's get straight up there. We're up a mountain for a bit of a chat. What have you seen is what we're playing. Ku Klux Klan video pranks.
Sorry about that.
See, it's busy weekend, though.
Yeah, really.
You're involved in a bit of that, but
probably in the hood.
It's all on the YouTube. It's our soldiers overseas. They're under a lot of pressure, so they're dressing up as the Ku Klux Klan. John Howard said,
I have some understanding of the disposition of people in those situations. They have to let off a bit of steam there.
Sitting at home in Wollstonecraft reading a hardcover book about Gallipoli. I have a lot of understanding of the need to dress up as the Ku Klux Klan. Gallipoli, they're invoking Gallipoli. That's, you see, Brendan Nelson. Oh, that's always from the time of Gallipoli. There's a sort of American irreverence in our soldiers.
Well, that idea, as you're saying, it's like it's the birth of a nation, really, wasn't it, when Gallipoli happened? But in their defence, they're only dressing in camouflage because I believe the next war is a Captain Seuss. Tony, I'm not sure.
I don't know.
They are letting off steam. It's the best way to get the wrinkles out of the blankets and the pillowcases.
Thank God, he's on a roll! But the YouTube videos from Gallipoli, they were outrageous, weren't they? Hysterical. Riding a penny farthing into a port-a-loo while someone's in there. Dropping some Mentos into a, I don't know, olden days drink.
A bottle of Scrumpy.
Oh, but these people are over
Scrumpy. Scrumpy's the only booze that comes in a jug.
Delicious. It's just letting off a bit of steam. You know what it's like when you're under pressure. Oh, I'm under so much pressure at work. I better go and put a sheet over my head and burn a flaming cross.
Nothing like a lynching.
But how is it? He understands, presumably. Look, it's quite normal around at our place. Janet and myself.
God.
Bob Catter will come round. We'll burn a few crosses.
Bob Catter.
sacrifice a few black people or the altar of hate? Why, what's so unusual about that? It's like our boys in Gallipoli. Nonsensical. I don't know.
Wow.
Presumably out of touch.
Yeah, yeah. No, you know.
Okay, what have you seen, Ed Cavalier?
Well, look, we normally talk videos and the like, but I want to throw the net open to include things you've seen on the street. I was out at a nightclub on the weekend. We should swap MySpace photos. So there was a guy getting into a cab, but it was at the changeover time when there's thousands of people looking for a cab and no cabs around.
Yeah.
Anyway, so if you know, and fellas, you know what I mean, huh? So when you walk up to a cab, often like girls will come bouncing over a group of girls and be like, oh, hey, pretend to flirt with you, and then steal your cab.
Cab drivers tend to stop for women more than men because...
Yeah, that's true.
Because they're less of a threat, I guess.
And they can normally tell when it's just you and I in a dress.
They're not less likely to be footballers.
Absolutely, yes, absolutely right. Well, not necessarily.
No, not true.
Not quite, but anyway, this guy, he dealt with it so nicely. These girls came over and bundled into his cab. 4 o'clock in the morning, he was the drunkest man in Australia. And as they were driving off, he grabbed the window and yelled into it, all right then, all right, but I live in Perth, and if I don't get to the airport on time, it's your fault. As they drove off, he got on his knees and shouted at the heavens, I live in Perth! And he got a little round of applause from the people eating McDonald's. On the side of the road.
You hear me? I said,
so more power to him.
Well, more power to you, Senator Lightfoot. I hope you made it home. Was there any hoon driving out on the streets on the weekend? Did you see?
Yeah, there's always a bit of hooning going on. You know,
in Sydney, they've worked out the answer. Here's a what have I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Ken Maroney, he'd be the New South Wales Police Commissioner. Mm-hmm. He's got a great idea for hoon drivers.
One fails to comprehend the moronic behaviour of some people. And you have to question whether, as in the case of the United States, whether the solution to this problem is, in part, the compacting of vehicles into a cube, dropped on the front lawn of their home.
Bang! Noise! Here's your car back.
Hoon in that. Best of luck.
A cube. The challenge, though, would be to get the cube up and running again. Get some cube racing. Get some cube burnout that week. Wouldn't that be a challenge?
Yeah, it would. I imagine it'd be like a Rubik's Cube. They have to try and put the car back together from its, you know.
Imagine cubes that, like, going through so many cars and just building a wall of cubes.
Oh, yeah,
like, check it out.
Of course.
Check out how fast I am.
Cheap housing. Keep buying $700 cars. Hoon around in them. They'll cube them for you. Use them as bricks. Build a big house.
Brilliant. Cube all the old station Black Thunders that are being retired.
No.
I should get them cubed.
No.
Let's get them cubed.
And then we'll wear a little bit as a necklace.
Yeah, so now we're talking like we've almost got prizes here.
Have we got prizes today?
Yeah.
Have we got prize music?
Mr. Marsden, looks like you're going to be humming an orchestra.
No.
Here we go. On Triple M, home of podcast. Podcast 112 up on the grid. Here's something interesting. For weeks, we've been not offering prizes. The phones have exploded. Today, the prize king busts out some prizes. Two calls. Two calls for what have you seen here at Get This 133353.
Well, they're the lucky ones. Maybe there's such a logjam, only two got through.
Am I meant to say there's heaps of callers? Am I supposed to lie?
No, we just meant to get the salespeople to be the callers.
Oh, is that what you do? Yeah,
that's what you meant.
Let's meet these two.
Hello, Fleur. How are you?
Do you know how excited I was because I thought they're putting me to air first? That's only me and some other dude.
You're first of the two calls we got.
Whereas, Phil, well, you get first choice of either the Lay, the Katie glasses, or the Screaming Jets DVD.
Excellent.
So now who's laughing? So what have you seen, Fleur?
Shall I set it up for you?
Go for it.
Yeah. It was very disturbing, and I've been waiting for the perfect forum to talk about this with someone. I know you'll appreciate it.
Yeah.
Walking through my lounge room last week, on TV was Entertainment Tonight.
Yes.
I turned, I saw them interviewing someone, I just looked at the TV and went, oh my God, Nicole Kidman's head, what's going on?
Oh, yeah.
And has no expression in his face.
Well, the, you know, obviously the implication is that there's some Botox work going on, but we can't confirm that.
And her lips are so big now.
Wow. This is the kind of stuff that will make you editor of Famous magazine. Those comments right there are worth their weight in gold, my friend.
Thank you very much. It was shocking.
A lot of people get the new lips installed and then somehow assume that all the old photographs of them in films like Days of Thunder will have been destroyed.
Absolutely right.
I've not seen BMX Bandits. I've gone back that far.
All right, that's a good one. Have you seen? What prize are we giving away here?
Blair, what do you want? Crazy glasses, a Lay, or a Screaming Jets DVD?
You just surprised me. They all said, how can I choose between those?
Nothing to
hurt. It's got to be crazy glasses.
Give me the crazy glasses.
Crazy glasses. You put them on, Nicole Kidman's head looks normal.
There you go.
It's a fun. Oh, look, the phones now are exploding.
Hello, Katie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Excellent. What have you seen?
Hey, I just wanted to say, by the way, the only reason I haven't called until today is because I never had anything to say with your other topics.
Oh, you had nothing for what animal would you steal for the zoo, or
nothing.
Where would you wear your tracksuit?
Nothing.
Well, welcome aboard. We're lovely to have you. We're glad this one brought you on board. What have you seen?
Well, I go to uni on St Kilda Road. It's a music performance uni.
Fantastic. In Melbourne, yes?
Yep. And basically, there's this old lady who comes in all the time, and she uses our pianos because she used to be some piano prodigy.
Oh,
yeah. I was sitting in the cast downstairs, and she was sitting across from me, and all of a sudden she brings out this bottle of milk with a strange kind of teat, and then out of her big Mary Poppins type carpet bag, she pulls out a newborn possum, I think. It was like this rodent type thing. It was absolutely disgusting, and she just starts feeding this possum from the bottle.
Did she give it a lullaby afterwards with Chopin?
Well, I was too busy trying not to gag over my lunch. I didn't really get that far.
Feeding a possum, did that go on when you were at uni?
Well, we had possums in the courtyard where I used to hang around, Katia.
Yeah.
And every now and again they'd sort of scuttle up to you and try and grab one of the rubber meatballs off your plate. That was about as far as we got.
But this possum didn't even look like a possum. It just looked like this ball of skin with claws. I couldn't even figure out what it was.
Ball of skin?
Yeah.
Because they don't have any hair. It was absolutely putrid.
Yeah.
Some photographs of Nicole Richie in the New Weekly this week that look very much like what you're describing.
Well, can't you? If you could get a photo and send it to us, that'd be great. Because I'm at a loss.
See, the problem. I can track her down. It might be tricky, but I'll do some stalking.
Well, good luck, dear
Charlie. Just send any correspondence you have to Crazy Lady, care of Carpetbags Anonymous, in your capital city.
And Ed's going to be sending you a Lay.
Oh, yeah, how about that, Cardi? How would you like a novelty Lay?
Yes.
All right, and see, the problem is, in this country, your possum is a protected species.
What?
Well, it is, isn't
it? Yeah, it is, yeah.
It is.
Whereas possums?
Yeah.
Possums.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's protected species.
Really?
Across the Tasman, where I'm from, you can just blast away at them with a shotty. That's what people would do after dinner every night. It's gone blasting possums. It's 10 minutes on the end to knock out over there. Fantastic. All right, those were our two callers.
Yeah, we've run out of time.
Thank you, everybody. We'll obviously...
Other people rang in after that, so we'll have to go again.
The Screaming Jets DVD will carry over to tomorrow. We don't have sizzle here again. This we certainly do. And in the next hour, Stephen Curry.
I guess they can't be defended or refuse to defend.
Stephen Curry is
the best place. I'm going to try and use some flags here. I thought it was an actual
coast that had won a competition. They had an insula went to somebody else.
So I almost didn't come in.
I was a bit nervous. I thought the atmosphere in here was going to be terrible. I got home late on Friday night. I bought the Herald Sun on the way home.
Oh, yeah, the driver's seat.
And, what I'd like to ask you, Tony, is one quick question.
Do it.
At the point when they say you holding a steering wheel, right, by itself, and they said, here's the photo that we're going to run with it, at what point did you think this story is going to be told accurately?
where did the surprise come in for you?
Well, we have someone on the line who may be able to help with that, because Tim, one of our listeners who couldn't get through, because we had so many to call us to talk back about, he's on the line now. You there, Tim?
G'day, Tony. How are you?
When the film came out for the first time, by that timeline.
Popular in Germany now, isn't
it? Yeah, and a whole year of Martin Malloy went south as well, but the phrase funny man feud was spelled correctly.
Thank you very much, Tim, for that piece of detective work. You've got yourself the Screaming Jet DVD.
Oh, that just made my week.
Okay.
Did you
talk
about Australia?
Yes, I'm here.
Did you say a bugger home?
No!
Well, yeah, well, he's taking the Screaming Jets DVD and he's replaced it with Sig Sig Sputnik.
Do you know what? Two guys came to me at the pub 2 weeks ago and they said, hey, I heard you're going to get this. I know you hate this. Can you say dug a hole?
When can we move?
Often when I'm somewhere, people will ask me to reprise my role from the cast. They'll go, can you go and stand in the corner and say nothing?
This program underway. Let's get this on Triple M.
It's the second hour on Triple M. Our co-host,
buggered. I've got to say, I am absolutely spent.
I'm almost done.
Oh, Stephen Curry, how would you describe him? Well, I did get off of the show.
That's his son. Oh,
really? Last season and the one before. I don't think they've seen me then. I don't think they have.
Hey, speaking of musical, all things musical, though, we were talking off air about a band that you were in.
Yes. My brothers and I used to play in a band together.
And you said you were listed in a newspaper under some kind of top 10.
10 stupidest band names in Victoria.
Oh.
Our dad's name is Neb, and we became Neb's Vindaloo.
Hello!
Look out!
The Vindaloo machine performing these days.
He's Johnny Wonderpants now, and they're doing very, very nicely for themselves. Thank you very much.
Isn't one of your brothers like a world champion air guitarist?
Here's the deal. He was Victorian champion in 2002.
Okay.
Went up to the national title, the NT.
Oh, yeah.
The AGNT. Rose Thorne was the host, MC.
Oh, yeah.
He was always kind of random. Judges. He ended up getting pipped by the guy who ended up doing the KFC ad. Who went by the name of Super Dave.
That's right.
Bernard went by the name of Weenus Get Bunny. And he was sensational. And even Peter Rosethorne to this day, if you speak to Peter Rosethorne, ask him about Bernard Curry getting robbed in the national episode.
What do you think went wrong?
Apparently, he didn't give out enough T-shirts. Super Dave came up with a big tour bus.
Real T-shirts?
And
real T-shirts.
Oh, no, real T-shirts. Okay. Super Dave written on them. And, oh, it was terrible. And if you're out there, Dave, I'm coming to get you.
Was your brother the guy who broke a string halfway through and a roadie came out?
I've heard of that. Yeah. Victorian Chamber gives you a warning that if that happened in the National, not the Nashos, he would be ejected.
That's loud.
You're not allowed to have anyone helping you with your air instrument.
That's a great joke.
It was a great joke because he was the only one who did a medley. Mm-hmm. So he started off with a little bit of Van Halen and then went a little bit of Slava Gregori, even pretending to sit.
And what about a smashing an invisible guitar, obviously, over an amp, a real amp, and having the amp blow up?
This is what he didn't think about. He would have taken the Nachos. He would have been on the KFC out of here.
What about the double neck guitar? Because I once saw Stevie Ray Vaughan and his brother in concert doing that thing where you get a double neck guitar, and it must be bloody hard. One of them plays the string bit, and the other one plays with a neck grip.
Ooh.
Or each other. So
homoerotic, isn't it?
Like, yeah, yeah.
And I think while you're playing that in air guitar, it's very hard to pay off that it's two necks. So you have to kind of go over the top neck and under the bottom. I don't know. I'm no expert.
You how much other musical talent is there in this Curry family?
Well, we can play air anything. No, there is a lot. And my brother Andrew also plays the trumpet, which is
but you can play the real one. Yeah, he's a chick puller.
James Morrison. I can play the bongos. Yes.
Sadly, we don't have any here.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
I'll prove that.
So hang on, trumpet, yeah. Bongos, yeah. E-guitar. Yeah. That's the Curry
line.
No, we can all play real guitar. My brother Pete was the first one to play guitar, and he was the one who said, he sat me down and I said, why do you play guitar? And he said, think about this. If there's 20 blokes around a campfire and one girl, and one guy can play guitar, who's going to get the chick?
Oh,
I didn't stick around for the answer.
No.
I went and stole the guitar the very day, and I haven't looked back.
Now, he'll beat
a woman, but...
How many Curry brothers are there?
There's four boys and a girl.
Wow.
Margaret the old.
And who's buying the role of Zippo Curry?
Who is that? Look, that was me until I learned to speak. I'm 24, so I'm just going to have a look at that.
Well, we've got the family tree sorted out. Let's now find out if you do get eaten by a crocodile in your new film. That'll be next on Get This. Stephen Curry is here. I was almost about to call you Stephen Seagal. Sorry about that.
I can see how you made that mistake there, Tony. That's all right.
If you just tuned in, listeners, we've learned today that Stephen Seagal is surrounded by young Asian women who call him Master.
Yeah, I heard this.
And apparently most of his films, it's somebody else, except in the close-ups.
Wow, there you go. And that's the storyline for Kappa's new porno.
That's right.
I can't wait. When do we... Do you get a copy of that?
Once the million-dollar deal's gone through, then the full, as the manager says, kit and caboodle will be available for viewing.
Wow. It's going to
be a wonderful...
Free on the internet. And well, where does the $1 million come from?
What's the cut-off date for the AFI? Well, I'm surprised, because it said... I didn't know about his previous role where he played a prisoner.
Yeah.
In some movie, so we looked it up on the internet, and it was in the film Fortress. It was an uncredited role as Brain Dead Prisoner. Fortress of Christopher Lambert.
Really?
Yeah.
Brain Dead Prisoner. A lot of rolling is born to play.
But what I'm leading to is,
speaking of roles born to play,
your latest movie, Rogue, which I think is now coming out around about Christmas time. We're big believers in Ford Sizzle.
Yeah.
Get people talking about it.
Well, thanks, Steve. First I heard we're going to be opening in the States the February dawn. So,
well, Ed and Richard have both seen it. They didn't mind it.
Yeah. They didn't mind it.
We had a great time.
Yeah, fantastic. Well,
there's some good scares.
There is some good scares.
It's a crocodile movie.
It's a crocodile movie. It Greg McLean, who did Wolf Creek, it's his second film.
And it's redefining crocs, because, I mean, the standard, I think, was set, let's see, alligator, would it be?
Yeah,
back in the early 80s. Then Lake Placid recently.
Oh, yeah. Before that, the one that had a go at Kozlowski and Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We tried to take the old bottle around the neck.
Yeah.
One piece G.
Yeah.
One for the ladies, that thing.
Rob Schneider fights with a big rubber one in one of his films. Is in the
animal. Yeah, that was good. So what they've done, Greg McLean basically based this crocodile on halfway between the animal and the snake. Out of anacondas. But no, look, this is, they've put a lot of money into it. The Weinstein Company, where Miramax and they've now turned into their own company and whatever, have put in all this money to make it look realistic and quite amazing. And the whole crocodile is CGI, fake, computerized crocodile, and it looks astonishing, and the film is very good. I endorse it.
Oh, honey.
There you go. I also endorse the fact that Greg McLean chose to cut most of my gear out of it.
Well, was Greg McLean, or you mentioned the Weinstein brothers, and he is known as Harvey Scissorhands.
Yes, he is, but also Greg McLean and producer Matt Hearn held on to certain control, creative control. So they weren't forced to cut anything out. I think it was just pretty much a wacky guy, Simon. This is who I play. Wacky Simon, who in the original script, for some reason, was just gay for no other reason.
Oh, he's just about to
no, it's no joke. And this was the thing. The only clue that I was gay was that it says, I say a line, yeah, me and my partner always go on fun journeys, but unfortunately this time, he was busy. And that's it. That's it.
He was busy.
Now, I don't think it has to be made a big thing of.
Right.
But I've just got this thing in my head that when you see a gay character, I should be either mincing around, I should be kissing a guy.
Yep.
I've done Kennedy, you know, I know what this is.
Yeah.
He was paying off for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So in the end, I spoke to Greg and we suggested that maybe we might just not say the he, and if people want to assume I'm gay, that's fine. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, yeah. You did say, I don't want to give anything away, what happens to your character,
well, but you clearly haven't yet.
So you said that you were the wacky guy?
Wacky guy, yeah.
Now, the wacky guy normally gets eaten early on.
You think so, yeah, but see, this wacky guy proved that he's got a little bit of a serious edge when the croc starts kind of like eating things and stuff. And, I basically, stay a little bit sardonic, get a little bit serious, and then kind of survive in a bit of a boring way.
But you say that, cutting room floor, what sort of stuff will we see on the deleted scene?
Okay, you probably won't see any of my character was a klepto. He basically, did his scene where he basically shows Michael Vartan, the main guy, the American guy, opens up his bag and he's stolen everything from the buffet at the hotel. And there's all these throwbacks throughout the film where he just keeps kind of winking at him and showing him a bun or a banana or kind of, scoffing a bun. All gone.
And they cut your banana revealing
work. So you've just got this enormous swag bag that's never explained.
Yeah, but the best thing about this film, the cleverest piece of editing is we shot in Arnhem Land, and we shot in Catherine Gorge, and we shot in Warburton, Victoria.
Right, wow.
So, one scene, you open up, you're in Arnhem Land, beautiful Arnhem Land. We turn the corner, we're in Catherine Gorge.
Now, I don't know if anyone knows the distance,
but there's a good few hundred kilometres between the two places. Then, you turn another corner, you're in Warburton, Victoria.
Wow. I think you guys end up at Leyland Brothers World.
We wanted to go to Wobby's World, but it was shut down. But this is what happened. We basically, and there was this island, so they built this island on scaffolding. And so the idea is that it's a tidal island, so the scaffolding just gets reduced and reduced in the island.
Gotcha.
The guy who owned the place was hell-bent on turning his property into a rogue theme park. Now, let's just break this down. A rogue theme park without a crocodile. A rogue theme park that wouldn't have had an island because it was designed to last for 2 months and right now would be absolutely decaying to the point of being condemned.
Good.
And also a rogue theme park in which what they do is when we go to Warburton, they've got this big CGI gorge.
Right.
And it looks like it's there. It's the end of their life. Somehow, people paying the money to go to the crappiest rogue theme park ever conceived basically are going to a lake where Radha Mitchell works. Now, I don't know what he's charging for it. I don't know if he is charging for it.
So it's just a bloke.
Bloke.
He gets you to stand in the middle of a pond while he jumps at you in a green suit.
Yeah, and just giving, and you've got one copy that you're allowed to watch of Melinda and Melinda. You can't take it away, you can watch it in this place.
Was there a Wolf Creek theme park?
This is the thing, I don't believe so, but it'd be a hard one to find. But at least if you're coming out for Wolf Creek, say you're overseas and you love Wolf Creek and you want to go back to where, see it, at least you can see it.
Yeah.
If you see someone that looks a little bit like it looks in the movie here, you would be stunned.
Do you think people are really doing that? Let's go to where Wolf Creek was shot. I don't need my spine.
That'd be great.
I want to go to that Silence of the Lambs pit I've heard so much about. Put some lotion on my skin.
Can we go to the Killing Fields this year, Mark?
All right, what about sports? We hardly ever talk about sports on this show. We're going to do it properly today, and that'll be next.
Wacko the diddly-o, we're suddenly over the line on that one.
It's on Triple M pretty much everywhere. Stephen Curry is sitting in with us for the lunch hour. And I always like hearing what actors have turned down. Have you turned down anything good lately?
You know what? I have.
What?
I have. Steven Spielberg.
Oh,
Tom Hanks.
Oh, those losers.
Those losers. We'll see that since Kano.
I think you're thinking of turning on.
They're doing a very high budget series called The Pacific.
Yeah, it's a sequel to that Band of Brothers. Yeah. Mm.
And I auditioned for it.
Right.
And I auditioned for a decent part of it. And they kind of went, okay. They flew me up to Sydney.
Ooh, that's
an audition for a bigger part.
That's good.
Ooh, a bigger part. One that's definitely going to go to Ted Green.
Oh, boy.
and I auditioned for that. Yeah. And they kind of, at the end, they said, okay, great, they knew it. And I went, oh, thank you, Simon.
are.
So they didn't know my name.
You're really good. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and then I walked out a bit dejected, and the casting agent came out and gave me this sort of thing. She goes, oh, would you mind sticking around for 20 minutes and learning this new character? Because they're really keen to see you for it.
Even bigger.
Right. And I said, but I don't have enough time. And she went, you'll have time. And I looked at the character, and his name was Loudmouth. a wacky private, right, who waddles around in the background making little kind of wise cracks, and then he gets his head blown off in the fourth scene. So I began, and I thought, you know what? And it was going to be 25 days of shoot, sitting around, and the joy of watching Americans work.
And you said, I'll pass, but Simon Curry will take it.
Thanks for the call, Ed, because they're coming for you.
Thanks very much.
But, so there you go. So I can say, and don't, if you're out there, don't tell anyone about it was a crap role. Mm. Just tell people, I said no to Spielberg.
Spielberg.
And Hanks together.
Got that.
But yes, the
both directly. Quite fine. Freshing about with an invisible crocodile. And he'll do that. All right, enough movies. Let's talk sport.
Anything remotely sporting I've ever done in my life.
Well, you're in good company here. How are we going to fill this segment? What great moments of sport can we offer? Oh, Ed's a basketball coach.
I coach Bridget Duclos from the Melbourne Cage. She has a basketball team which I coach. Mm. And when I showed up, they were a ragtag bunch of misfits, much like the Mighty Ducks. Mm. And much like Emilio Estevez's work with Joshua Jackson and the rest of the Mighty Ducks.
Did you pull a bit of cool runnings action?
Oh, right.
You whip them into shape.
Bit of John Candy work for the stopwatch.
Bit of Russell Crowe and Mr. Alaska.
No, not that bad.
Too far.
Not that serious.
Too far.
And now we're three in a row. We've won three in a row.
Oh, we've got a round, please. Oh, what have you got this week? You're not ready for a round.
Climbing up the ladder. And also, I'd like to say a big hello to my ex-flatmate, John, who is now a good friend of mine, because he made me sit down on the weekend and watch the entire game, mind you, on video, of his under-12 football match where he kicked, like, 8 goals straight.
It's a great moment!
Your ex-housemate, how old is your ex-housemate now?
30.
Living in the park?
You betcha.
Yeah.
Good, now we can move on. I don't have any great moments in sport.
You don't have anything about sport?
No, but I do have a list of Sheffield Shield cricketers who need bigging up on the rug, according to Justin Hanley. What about Julian Wiener?
Oh, yeah, we've had Wiener before.
Blonde and dynamic.
I don't know where you'd find a gag in it, but...
All right.
Julian.
Trevor Laughlin, or is that Lachlan?
No, Trevor Laughlin, I think it is, yeah.
Great all-rounder. Dav Whitmore, or
Dav
Whatmore.
Whitmore.
Whatmore?
Dav Whatmore.
Whatmore.
Yeah, Tasmanian.
Boone-esque is all it says here. Might have been on for a mo. Jeff Moss, another moustache aficionado.
Mm.
Peter Toohey.
New South Welshman?
Doesn't say on this back.
Mm. I do love the idea of a moustache aficionado. Didn't actually grow one, but knew all about them. So you see a lot of people who know a lot about footy, like Eddie McGuire. Probably not a good player, but knows a lot about his mind.
I edit Moustache Aficionado magazine. That'd be a great read. Mr. Marsden, I'm assuming you have no great moments in sport.
Not really. Have I talked about this on the show before? I was bundled down the first round of the championships.
Yes.
At Elizabeth City Centre. And
what sort of machine were you spinning?
I came undone at Around the World. But I could do Rock the Cradle.
Yeah, but what were you using? What were you
using? No, not Fanta. I was using Coca-Cola Special.
Oh, no.
But not Super Special.
No.
Super Special, you can't
endless spinning.
It never goes to sleep.
No, ostentatious.
Well, that's right.
I got beaten. I don't know if I've told you this, but I got beaten in basketball by a monkey.
No joke.
In Thailand, we went to monkey school. And then this monkey came out bouncing a basketball and he said, no, who would like to take him on? I went, there's no way I could lose. I'd no joke, I lost in a shootout.
Wow.
I've lost to a monkey in basketball.
How long ago was this?
This was 2004.
Right, but he's still allowed to do that over there because Ross Noble was in a couple of weeks ago and lamenting the fact that you're not allowed to dress a monkey in clothes anymore.
But is it anything a monkey wouldn't do naturally or something?
Like a monkey wouldn't do in real life.
Well, you haven't lived and you've been beating the basketball down.
The bar is so goddamn great moments in sport. We'll accept anything. 1-3-3-5-3. We know Brian Adams. Run to you here and get this on Triple M. Stephen Curry is with us. It's time for great moments in sport. Who's got a great one here?
Hi, David.
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 G'day, guys. How you going?
Good, mate. What happened?
Mate, I'll set the scene for you. There was 5 minutes to go in our under-12 soccer grand final.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
It was 1-1. The cross came in, and our player put in the best header into the top right-hand corner. Our own goal.
Was it a real fantastic header? Was it like a bullet?
It was. It absolutely flew in. It was the most coordinated thing he did all year.
How long ago was this?
This was about 91.
Yeah. And what does he do now?
Is he doing okay?
He's got through it. No, he's okay.
Never got his head out of the toilet bowl.
Yeah.
What does he do now, that bloke?
I think he's studying engineering or something, actually.
Don't let him near a bridge.
Thank you, David. G'day, Louise.
G'day, hi guys.
How you going?
Good.
What happened?
Okay, it was about 6 years ago, mm-hmm. and I was swimming, in a master's carnival, which is for the older people.
Fair enough.
And I'd made it to a final, and I was swimming the 50 freestyle, and I was about 20 metres to go, and I heard all this really loud noises, so I actually stopped the race, but what it was all my friends cheering for me.
Oh.
And so I stood up in this pool and started waving, and then because they were cheering for me because I played a final. And then I thought, I better keep swimming, and I swam and I won.
Tell you what, I've never thought he.
No, it would be a good look though.
If you're so far ahead,
I see Thorpe could stop, design some pearls, and keep going.
But another thing though, Thorpe, he never looked past.
No,
he wasn't put
in. Yes. That would look so good to stop and then go back the other way just to take it up to the
net. Swim backwards.
Hey, beautiful. That is a great moment of support, Louise. Who's got another one?
Hello,
Philo. How's it going?
Good, thank you. Of course, the first question we always ask you is, how are the ducks today?
Ducks are all right.
Good to hear. Do people still want ducks, Silo?
Of course they do.
Yeah,
fantastic.
One of our regulars, Stephen. He brought ducks to people who want them.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
All right, then. What happened, Silo?
I was playing footy when I was probably about 8 years old, and I was up in the forward line and wasn't seeing a lot of action. I decided to pick up the witch's hat, which was serving as a goalpost, and put it on my head and act as a goalpost. No, this was like, underage footy, I think it was.
Yeah, good work.
So, was it your best performance all season, or?
Yeah, probably. The thing was, I got so into the role that when the ball actually did come down there, I just stayed there.
Brilliant. Method acting. Brilliant work, Silo.
A man easily mistaken for a post. It's impressive. But can we go better than that, Ed?
Thank you, Silo. Good day, Adam.
All right, g'day, guys. How are you going?
Good, thanks, mate. What happened?
Okay, well, I got roped into playing a game of mixed netball.
Always a bad idea.
Always. And let me set the scene for you. I'm 6'3" and reasonably well built. And they put me on this girl who was about 4'2" with an extreme case of aggression.
Okay. Yep. And what happened?
Well, you know, she kept elbowing me in the nether regions.
There you go.
And then what happened was someone threw the ball down the court and I went up for a big screamer. She was way behind me somewhere. And I came down and I kept playing on, and then I heard everyone's their mouths were dropped wide open, and I heard the whistle go.
Yeah.
And I never understood the rules of netball in the first place. So exactly. So I looked at the ump and she goes, "Excuse me, did you know that there's a girl lying on the floor behind you?" And what had happened, she tried went up for the screamer with me, and my bum must have just whacked her, and she tumbled about 3 metres backwards and was almost unconscious. Can I just quickly say also that I played basketball the same night as Ed.
Oh, yeah.
I see him coach all the time.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, he has some of the most awesome coaching moves I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah, it's like these poses that he does when he's especially when he gets really into it. It's
He's a sort of hot Cougars basketball team, and can you confirm that he's quote all hands?
All hands on deck for sure.
Well, thank you very much.
Marvelous. Thank you,
Adam with his midget nipple screamer. Have we got time for just one more, Ed?
No. Hello, Sarah. How are you?
Hello. I'm really great. How are you guys?
Well, I'm glad to hear from you. What happened?
Well, I just wanted to ask you because I'm an absolute nut with all sports. Love it, yeah. But I'm really mad on the dish lickers. I know you'd be the same.
I saw
some old black and white footage of when they used to put monkeys on the back of the greyhounds and they used to race them. How did they get the monkeys to stay on there? Because they actually look like they're having a good time.
Well, the great issue is now what they do is they wrap their hands around the neck of the dog. I've seen this. Because then they had another league where monkeys used to ride Shetland ponies.
What could go wrong? What could go wrong?
I'm serious. And they would hold on to the Shetland pony's mane and steer them around the course.
Surely, if you can let those through driving a car, would be next.
Well, what's he going to do with his winnings? He's got to buy something.
And I've got the little suits as well.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant little jockey's outfit.
Monkey jockeys, they're not allowed to do that anymore. The members of Jesus are the monkey jockey.
Bring it back, I say. you get me some monkeys, Sarah, I'll provide the dogs on the track.
I'm with you.
If the law is that a monkey isn't allowed to do anything a monkey wouldn't do in real life, I mean, a monkey gripping, if it fell onto a horse and then had to hold on
and dressed itself in himself.
Alongside 11 other horses with monkeys on their backs.
It's just natural.
That is a great selection of great moments in sports. Sorry we didn't get to everybody. But we do have to squeeze in a bit more, Warwick Camper, before we sign off, or there'll be trouble. That'll be next to get this. If it's around the nation on Triple M. Now, by rights, we should be signing off. Stephen Curry.
And you have played like two songs this whole
time. Two and a half. But look, there will be trouble if we don't do what we said we were going to do on Friday, which is play part two of Richard Marsden's Warwick Kappa calls. Now, for people who haven't heard the first half, this will be baffling. What's up with the whole thing on podcast 110? But this is Richard just calling celebrities up using lines, cold lines from Warwick Kappa's from a radio session, from a recording session. He was recording for some voiceovers of the station a few years ago.
Yeah, that's right.
Had a bit of time on your hands there.
Grab them, use them out of context to make some celebrity phone calls at random.
This is about a decade ago, so it's from the vaults. But who did you call here?
This would be, Jeff Fenwick.
Let's hear it.
Hi. What's that? Hello.
Hi, this is Warwick Kappa.
Hi, Warwick Kappa.
Remember me?
I remember you. You're the guy that wears those tight shorts. The guy that's
like remember.
That's it. What's happening?
Sorry, when you talk quick. Remember.
Hello?
Just never listened about the 80s.
I remember you. The guy that wore the tight shorts. It looked like a
remember me?
I remember.
Gee, thanks a lot.
The guy that was there in that magazine getting up his missus.
Gee, thanks a lot.
Is that the right guy?
Gee, thanks a lot. You know, my long blonde locks.
Yeah.
I was the biggest thing in the footy field. Okay, want me to hit it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You happy with that?
No worries.
How's that?
Good.
Not good enough?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah.
Hello?
You happy with that?
Who is this?
How's that?
How's what?
Not good enough?
Who's this?
Hi, this is Warwick Kappa.
Hi.
Remember me?
Yeah.
Okay, mate. Okay, I'll catch up with you again. You know, my long blonde locks. Okay, want me to hit it?
Hello.
All right, that's good stuff.
Don't forget the website. Don't forget our key phrase today. What was it?